podcast.
Council is responsible for 1,400 miles of local roads, and while gritting has only just started, preparation started back in autumn to ensure that the team were prepared to keep the road network safe during the cold, dark winter nights. And we spent a budget of more than $2.2 million in keeping the roads clear in freezing conditions. We deploy over 30 gritters and treat 750 miles of roads, over 50% of the entire network, as well as working with Bear Scotland, who maintain the trunk roads, the A82, A83 and A85 and A828 on behalf of Transport Scotland. With work that we do on the Campbellton to Kennacraig section. Just to give you a sense of what's involved, I'm speaking today with Callum Robertson, Assistant Network Standards Manager, and Callum can give a bit more detail of what's a little bit more complex than may at first meet the eye. So here's Callum to talk about the work of his team.
So tis the time for winter maintenance. It's getting cold out there, and I've got Callum Robertson with me. So, Callum, you're well experienced in managing our winter maintenance response. What have you been doing in the sort of prep that I know you do every year to get ready for this point?
Good morning, Papa. The winter maintenance service never really stops, and in the summer service, obviously there's no actual standby, but we're obviously preparing. The main thing that we do in the summer is assess our winter equipment and vehicles, and also replenish our salt stocks. And in the run up, September, October. The main operations involved in preparing for standby are allocating drivers to the treatment routes, allocating vehicles to these routes, and bringing together the management team who actually view the weather forecast and make decisions on the forecasts. So all that's got is preparatory work for making sure that we have people in standby every week to cover the whole of the winter service from an hour's point of view. So we don't provide a 24-hour service. We don't have enough people in the service to do that. The policy allows us to have a service from 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 at night on most of the routes, with some of the strategic routes where we have two drivers per day. We can plan treatments from about 4 o'clock in the morning through to 10 o'clock at night. And if there's a serious requirement, then obviously we can react without those times, but that obviously has a detrimental effect on driver's hours. We need to sort of stand people down and replace them if we do that. So the rotas for drivers and depots and all the rest that allow us to allocate sufficient drivers to provide 31 pre-treatment routes, which is a fairly substantial amount of the network. We're probably above average in Scotland that we actually treat about just under 54% of the adopted road network in a pre-treatment run if we have all the gritters out, which is quite substantial. Another thing that we did this year is we reconfigured and reviewed the pre-treatment routes. Now, these are the planned routes that we go out to in advance. As I say, there are 31 specific routes on the network, and we reviewed all of those, and right down to the description of turn left at this street and put the gritter on, travel along to the next junction, turn right, etc., and then gritter off, travel to the next bit. So these are all on the website. And are available for folk to view, but they're basically the sort of the guide for the driver to actually treat the network, and we reconfigured all of this within the current policy summer, redrew the maps, and I re-quantified all of the routes as well, and that's where we've come up with a slightly increased figure in the percentage now. And it's probably about 1,230 kilometres is what we actually do when with the 30 odd vehicles.
So we've got, I mean, in
percent
you're
of
one of the
network.
managers that's you're one of the managers that's there overnight checking the forecast and things, and then we've got a big chunk of staff that are available on standby either to do, as you said, the pre-treated routes from sort of 6 a.m. or react if
Yes.
we get some really bad weather, and all the vehicles are standing by. So
So
we've
yeah,
got.
there's a fleet of 31 vehicles that are actually allocated to each one of those routes. Plus, we have a 12 or so additional vehicles that are winter capable that can be mobilised in severe weather during the day when other drivers are available.
And I think in addition to that, you've got, you know, on some routes you've got farmers and things that we use too, just to supplement our own staff. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, well, we don't get many large snow events, but when they do come, locally, obviously that's a major disruption. And there's obviously over the last 10 years, there's been occasions where that's been the case. We had some bad winters in 2009, 2010. Kintyre was cut off for the best part of a week or so because of heavy snow. 1 year, we've had the north end of Mull has been under 10 feet of snow for a week or so. And we also had, the most recent one was obviously a couple of years ago, we had what was dubbed the Beast from the East. And that was a really dry, cold air that came in from the continent and came through the central belt. And that affected the Lomond area and Butte and Cowell. But the rest of the area was actually fairly clear. So these sort of severe weather events that can be localised to one or two particular districts, and in those occasions, then obviously we employ contractors and farmers with additional machinery to help us dig out in severe snow. Fortunately, they're few and far between and fairly short lived. The weather pattern over the last decade or so is such that we do get cold spells, but they don't last inordinately long, and there's usually a ripple in the jet stream or whatever, and we get a series of wet fronts will come in, weather fronts will come in with wet weather, and that usually helps to wash away the snow after probably about a week or so.
So people are probably wondering. You know, if you're on duty, and there's a number of managers that do this, but if you're on duty and you're making those decisions across the whole of Argyll and Bute, which is a big area, so how do you know where to grit and where the issues are and what they are? What tools have you got at your disposal to do that?
Well, first of all, we employ a forecaster, and they provide us with the riders with a forecast 3 times a day, so that's updated. So it comes in the morning around about 6-7 o'clock. It's updated around about 12 o'clock, and then there's another update around about six at night. So that's a sort of rolling program that tells us how the weather pattern's doing and what's predicted, and from that we can generate a plan. The main plan gets generated around about midday every day. And that goes on for the next 24 hours, and that's posted on the website so the public can see it. And that's generally one or two treatments, one in the afternoon and one planned for 6 o'clock the following morning if the hazards are forecast to carry on right through. We've got about a dozen weather stations at roughly about sort of 30 or 40 mile intervals throughout the network. And they're available on the map on the website as well, and those give us confirmations of the actual observations, the actual weather conditions, and five of them have got cameras on them as well, which are in the high level routes, and that allows us to monitor in real time. We can monitor all night if we need to.
And they tell you like the road surface temperature, whether it's going up and down,
yep.
And even how much grit's still on the road, don't they?
Yes, it's well. There's a surface sensor that also gives you the salinity, how much salt's on the road, what the actual surface condition is, whether it's wet, ice, snow. The atmospheric conditions will give you the temperatures and the wind and etc. And as I say, there are five of them that are actually cameras on. which actually allows us to look in snow conditions, to actually look at recurring snow conditions as to whether we need to go out and do secondary treatments, do repeat treatments. Now, the advantage of that is that we're sitting at home as managers looking at those cameras, and we're not sending guys out on a gritter unless they need to. So we're saving, you know, wear and tear on the machinery. We're saving on driver's hours, if you like. So until the point where it's deemed necessary that we go and do this. So that allows us a bit of versatility within the operation, that we can have planned treatments within the timescales that the policy allows, but that when we react, we can react to observations, either reports that come in from police or members of the public, or we can actually look at those cameras and we can monitor it itself. So we've got that sort of bit of remote sensing as well, as well as the surface temperature and air temperature graphs that we can look at right through the night if necessary, and see how things are behaving.
I think it's perhaps, I know when I came and first sort of saw the setup, it's, you know, it's really quite sophisticated that you've got access to, you know, you can speak to the forecasters,
yep,
from the company that we contract with and get that expertise. But even while sat at home, you've got access to all that data and the cameras and things.
Yep.
It's quite a kind of technological setup, really, that perhaps people don't realise that how responsive it is to all of our outlying areas.
Yes, see the network of sensors. They're throughout the network. So there's two on Mull, there's one in Isla, at least one in each of the forecast domains, and there's nine domains. So there's nine different plans we can put together each night, depending on what the forecast for that domain is, and that allows us to sort of vary what we're doing. And we actually went live yesterday, 3rd of November was the first time we actually did a treatment, but that was restricted to five of the domains because the forecast for the outer islands was less severe. So we didn't have to mobilise there, but we did mobilise in the mainland, sort of northern areas, etc. And we did a treatment yesterday afternoon for a prediction of sort of borderline frost conditions this morning, 4th of November. So that was a treatment in advance of a forecast, but it was specific. Specific to the areas that where the hazard was forecast, and as you say, yes, we have access to all this information in real time, observations as well as the forecasts, and the same radar images for showers, like the images that you see on the television forecast, that's exactly the same radar system that we've got access to, and we can zoom into the Argyll area and actually get a very specific view of how the showers are passing across the area. And our forecast, our computer model actually gives us different types of precipitation that the radar image that you see on the telly is just blue, basically. But our one has a multicoloured version, which gives us different types, whether it's rain or snow or hail and all the rest. So you can tell what's coming across and whether and how that's going to affect the road surface differently and what you need to do to treat it. Probably the worst condition that we have is something that's colloquially referred to as freezing rain. If you talk to meteorologists, it's not quite what they call freezing rain, but what we're talking about is rain that freezes on contact. And in the conditions where we have open skies at night and the temperature drops quite severely, but then there's showers come in that on a very cold surface, the rain can actually freeze on contact. And there's no way that you can treat in advance of that, to be honest. You know, you can salt the road, but after about 15 minutes, the rain will have washed the salt off or diluted it to such an extent that it becomes ineffective. And the only choice you've got then is to actually go out again and try and retreat it. And there are quite a few times where we'll have We'll have guys out in the middle of the night trying to treat freezing rain, which is a hazard to them as well, obviously, with being icy roads. But
yeah.
they can be running up and down in an area for hours at a time, and the hazard keeps recurring. And this is something similar to snowfall. When it snows, it's a completely different set of problems than salting in advance of a freeze condition. Generally, what we do is we've got a forecast that will tell us that the roads are going to be damp. It's going to go sub-zero, therefore ice may form unless you do something about it. So we do in advance, we go out and we drive the route and we salt the route. And the salt turns into a solution in the damp road, and the chemical reaction means that the freezing point of water reduces by about 5 or 6 degrees. So it goes from zero down to -6. And that's where your initial protection comes from ice. Snow is slightly different, because if snow keeps falling, then the salt will become swamped. It will not cope with falling snow, and that's what the ploughs are for in the vehicles. So every one of the vehicles that we've got that spreads salt through the spinner is also equipped with a plough, and we plough in advance of salting where we have snowfall. And the problem with recurring snowfall, though, is that you can only go in one direction with a snow plough. So that when you're salting, and you're salting in advance, you can drive 20 miles up a road, and the spinner can be spreading over both lanes of the road. When you're ploughing, you've got to go all the way up one side and come all the way down the other. So it's a much slower job and a much more laborious job to actually clear a road of snow. And while you're busy ploughing one side of the road, the snow's falling on the other. So when you come back down the road, 10 miles up the road and 10 miles down. So you're half an hour later, you come down the road, there's half an hour's worth of snow on the other side of the road. So snow conditions are not as easy to deal with as pre-salting is. But the other thing that helps snow is traffic, and this is another issue that sometimes the general public don't quite understand, that it actually makes it's better for us to keep the traffic moving, even in snow conditions. And we add, and as again another popular misconception, it's not grit that we put out, it's salt most of the time, a rock salt, which as I say, is a chemical reaction that reduces the freezing point of water. But in snow conditions, we can add grit, either sand or crushed rock, very fine crushed rock, and that acts like a grinding mechanism. And that breaks up the snow. And if there's traffic on the road, then the traffic helps to break up the snow and helps to dissipate it. And the problem we have in Argyll is that we just don't have enough traffic. And in snow conditions, if they're really severe, if it's quite a heavy snow and quite a persistent snow, then our guys driving up and down a route are only getting to plough that particular bit of that road maybe once every couple of hours or so. And in between that time, the snow keeps falling, and if there's not a lot of traffic on the road, then that's when snow builds up. And that's the sort of, the problem we have. And there's, we unfortunately don't have a resource that we can treble or quadruple in size every night there's a snow. It just basically we're stuck with the fleet that we can resource for the pre-treatment network, with a limited ability to escalate, but certainly not to the extent that we would be able to keep the roads completely clear of snow. No roads authority in Britain is able to do that. I mean, that's just it's a physical impossibility to keep a road clear of snow the same way that you can pre-treat in advance of an ice forming by salting.
I know when I became involved in these services, struck just how by how technical and scientific it is, and the experience that the likes of yourself bring to this from years of managing these services, of trying to weigh up the options around that, of what's going to happen. Because as you've touched on, rain's a big issue in the west of Scotland, and sometimes keeping ahead of the rain and the freezing is challenging. And as you say, it's, you know, it can take several hours to do a pre-treatment route or a gritting yeah. or a ploughing route. You know, so that's a couple of hours where the weather can do a lot of
yep.
It's worse absolutely. Before you can get back round to it.
Yeah, unfortunately, some of our routes are you know, over 100 kilometres long, end to end and back again, and that's, you know, that's an inordinate amount of time to be actually, you know, out and about, even doing a pre-treatment route, and that's a kind of a function of the geography of Argyll and where most of our resources are situated, which is in the main towns, and we don't have many the ability now. We don't have many remote depots with driver resource in them that allows us to start from both ends of a route and meet in the middle. That's unfortunately not something that we have in our portfolio just now. We basically have a depot in the main towns, and we drive out to the end of the route and come back again. In most cases, and that's that can be quite a long route in some cases. There's at least one in each of the main political areas, which is over 100 kilometres long. You know, and that's a 3 to 4 hour round trip, if not more, for the vehicle.
And that's why you've got the, you know, you aim to go out at the sort of times you do, isn't it? So that, you know, we're doing our best to try and get those
yep.
routes pre-treated before people are out on the road in the morning. But
yep.
I mean, it's not 100%. If you're somebody that starts early, you still need to be careful, because we may not have got to the whole route before you're on the road.
No, that is the problem, because we, you know, a lot of the time we're at one end of the route. If you're starting at the other end, then even with our 6 a.m. start plan, it could be the best part 8 a.m. before we get to the end of the route. And that's just a function of the geography and where our resources are.
We should probably just, I mean, you guys will have been up a long time before 6 a.m. checking the forecasts and making the decision. So, you know, shout out to you and your colleagues that do the coordination, but also the guys that are doing the grit runs, because, you know, they've still got to get to work as well, and gritters aren't immune to coming off the road in ice themselves either, are they?
No, fortunately we've not had many incidents like that, but yeah, that we, you know, you do have to sort of appreciate that that's the case. That it's the old adage, how does a snowplow driver get to his work? I mean, these guys are, I'd say most of our workforce are based fairly close to the depots in the towns, but yeah, they still have to get up and be available for a 6 a.m. start. So they're, you know, they're getting up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to come in to treat the roads, so that the rest of us who maybe want to start moving around about the 7:30 to 8:30 mark have got a reasonable expectation of a treated road. In the afternoon.
They do that all winter, you know, Christmas, New Year,
yeah.
all of that. All the way through, which is, you know, I think, you know, it's easy to forget that when you you take it for granted. And I mean, I know we've had examples of on occasions, you know, with all the precautions, still somebody, you know, can end up in a ditch in one of those vehicles, and that they'll get out, walk back to the depot, and be ready to start again. It's you know, we've got some pretty dedicated teams doing this stuff.
I think that's another thing to bear in mind, that you know, just about virtually all of us is done in the dark as well, up a combination of sort of geometry of roads. There's, you know, most of our routes all start at sea level where the towns are, but, you know, a lot of these ones go up to 200, 250 metres above sea level and then down to sea level again. So there's a lot of variation there, and quite a lot of the routes are on single track roads or roads of limited width, if they're maybe, you know, two lane, but they're no really wide main roads like the strategic roads that we've got or the trunk roads. So, you know, they're driving 18-ton and 26-ton vehicles, sometimes with a plough hanging off the front as well, on very narrow roads. And it's, it is a challenge, and the drivers that we have are very experienced about what they're doing, but that's that's a major part of the challenge of winter is keeping a workforce that's skilled that can actually do this.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big plea to people, please, if you come across a gutter, be patient with that, because the big vehicles to manoeuvre, and I know from where I
Yep.
am, I saw them coming up last night. I knew it was going to be cold, and it's a very narrow road. I wouldn't like to take that size of vehicle up there. It's hats off to them. I mean, maybe tell us. You touched on it, this sort of beast from the east, the big snowfall we had a number of years ago in Kintyre. Maybe give people a bit of a sense of that, because as you said, they can be quite localized. So if you haven't lived through it, but I mean, they can be, when they happen, thankfully not very often, they're pretty full on, and you can be managing different conditions
Yeah,
in a
well,
number of different areas all at once.
yes, there's very few of those really severe snow conditions actually affect all nine domains, the whole of the network at the one time, which is
Thankfully.
fortuitous in a way.
Yeah.
And actually, certainly in the Kintyre situation, we were able to move additional resources down to that area once we got the road open. I mean, the initial problem was that the road round about the Clachan area was 3 or 4 metres deep in some of the cuttings. And again, it's a combination of snowfall and wind, and the wind blows, blows into drifts. And if those drifts go into a cutting in the road, then you've got this solid wall of snow that's going to be 3 or 4 metres high.
And I know, I
A
mean,
snow
I
plow's not going to shift that. That's an
no.
excavator that you need to get in for that, and that obviously takes time.
And I know with that one, and I mean, it was before my time, but I've heard the stories of, I think the it was almost spring, bulbs were coming up in Loch Ilphead, and just down the road, 4 meters of snow. And I don't
Yes.
think people believed the first people on the scene who said, this is what it's like till the photographs came through. And then went, okay, I mean
Yeah,
that's quite extreme.
well, it is, yeah. And well, again, I think I've said this before, yeah, that the Kintyre incident was bad, but yeah, the 10 miles up the road, the grass was green. There was absolutely no issues in the Lorne and Cowley areas, to be honest. It was actually the thing that hit the news was the Isle of Arran, but Kintyre was right next door, and it got it just as bad. But it was very localized, and even, as I say, the beast from the east. That hit the central Scotland area. It drifted into Argyll, but it was Helensburgh, Bute and Cowell, and the west domains were completely free of any anything beyond the ordinary. Yet in the Helensburgh area and on Bute, we had the same problem: wind-blown snow filling in between the hedgerows, and we had to use excavators to dig out the main roads, and that included the main road from Dumbarton to Helensburgh, where we had to dig that out over several days, and that was again just a very localized severe snowfall, and again a dry snow, and a dry snow that obviously blew in the wind, and then filled in on the road. The classic you see on the television. The
Yeah.
fields are bare, and the head and the bit between the hedges, the road is absolutely chalk solid with snow.
And I think, I mean, that's where it becomes a bigger thing to manage, because I know in the Kintyre one in particular, actually then the power lines were down. We needed the power companies, because actually you couldn't dig out all the snow without the power companies, because there were power lines buried in it. And we're pulling in the wider team, because we're getting generators to Campbelltown, and even in the Beast from the East one in Helensburgh and Cowell, it's identifying those people that are in need of care at home, for example, and clearing routes so carers can get to the people they need to. It's a real coordinated effort, isn't it? There's a lot more than just getting an excavator and digging the snow out that you guys get involved in.
Yeah, well, in both cases, we kind of had to sort of think laterally a bit. We eventually ended up that there was in the Kintyre one, there was a ferry went from Kennigree to Campbelltown. It was the only way to get any resources from one end to the other until we cleared the road. And we had assistance from Transport Scotland there as well, and they brought their snowblowers down from the sort of the north of Scotland, and they were in to help with that as well. And in Helensburgh, in the last one, the east from east, as I say, Cadres was an area that was cut off to a certain extent for a couple of days. But we had to, again, we had to try and get in as best we could. And it actually was the sort of eastern end that actually opened first. So although people from Helensburgh were trying to get to Cadres, we had to sort of direct them down round by Dumbarton and come back in the other way. And it was, there was sort of a day where access was available, but unfortunately, the journey for social care workers and things like that had to be extended so they could come in from the other side. But we did get into the heart of the village from at least one side. But yes, you're right. It's we're within the winter service ourselves. We have obviously the pre-treatment routes that are designed to cover the most used bits of road, if you like, or lifeline routes to villages and things like that. But if there's any need for any sort of one-off requirement for us to go and assist emergency service or social care or the like, then there's a mechanism in place for there to divert the nearest gritter to treat a specific need. So if there was an issue where access was blocked to a particular residence or something like that, and we had a request from the ambulance service or the fire service or whatever, then we basically just stop what we're doing and divert to that as part of the process. But fortunately, again, that's the exception rather than the rule. We've not had many, but as I say, the mechanism's there if necessary, that we can divert the vehicles, and the control of those vehicles is through a management team that are on ours as well. There's a supervisor or five supervisors cover the network, a combination of between four or eight gritters each, depending on where they are and how many they're managing. But they have visibility where all these vehicles are through the vehicle tracking system, so they can divert the nearest vehicle to an incident just by calling up that driver and divert him to assist either another vehicle or go and do something out of the ordinary once he's finished his treatment route. So that gives us that visibility that we can monitor how the plan's going, and we can monitor the safety of the drivers actually out of ours as well, because we're looking at the tracking system and we're making sure the vehicles are carrying out the plan the way it was envisaged, and that the vehicles are still moving.
That safety issue is a really important one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And yep. I mean, there's things drivers could do themselves from a safety point of view. So, what's the advice to drivers and what they can do to help keep themselves safe?
Well, initially, look for the forecast. The winter maintenance pages are on the web, the website for the council, and we'll be posting a daily action plan on there around about midday every day, and that will give you an idea of what treatments we are planning for the next 24 hours. So that will give you an idea of what we are treating and what the forecast is. The next thing, obviously, is that to take cognizance of the weather, and that in the winter, drive with a bit more caution. A road may look clear, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there couldn't be an icy hollow around the corner or something like that. And even if a route is planned to be treated, That's no, it's still something you need to sort of, bear in mind and drive with care and caution, because there could be any sort of, as we say, there could be any sort of delays in treating the route. If there's a breakdown, it might take us a bit of time to actually replace that vehicle or get it started again, and that might delay our start time. So, that from that point of view, be aware of what we're planning to do and what the forecast is, but still, proceed with caution. Obviously, from as far as vehicle maintenance is concerned, then obviously check the tread and the pressure of your tyres, and make sure your wipers are up to scratch for the winter. And it wouldn't do any harm in the depth of the winter to be carrying a shovel in your boot if you're doing rural driving. One of the things that we do, even on routes that we treat, but in the rural areas, on steep hills, etc., is we put out grit heaps, so that primarily for HGVs. But if there's any issue where in a snowfall condition that a vehicle's stuck on a road, then if you have a shovel, then and there's grit heaps there, then you can put some stuff under the tyres, get yourself moving again, and that allows drivers to sort of self-help. In some cases, and that helps to keep the road open, because obviously if there's a lot of stationary cars, the grit can't get moving, the plough can't get moving. So if we can keep everybody moving to a certain extent, that means that we can still get on with our treatment, rather than the whole place grinding to a halt with queue of traffic.
Yeah, and I know I was like that. Boots, a warm coat, and some chocolate in the boot just in case as well.
Yeah,
So maybe that's an excuse to eat chocolate in my case.
Well, yeah, if you're going anywhere in the winter and involving rural driving, then yeah, you should be, taking some sort of means of being able to keep warm. Should you unfortunately get stuck, because that is unfortunately a risk in this part of the country. As I say, as we've spoken about, we can get severe conditions, fairly localized, and difficult to treat continually. That may mean that people have to, wait a while, until we can catch up with treatments.
Yeah, and that thankfully most of it will be pre-treatment and salting the roads, and that's, as we said, that's started now,
Yes.
and we're definitely into that winter period. So if people see the gritters, well, be patient, but also remember these guys are out all winter in at all times of the day and night, just to try and keep us going, and hopefully we won't have too many bad incidences this winter, and people can stay safe. So thank you to you and all the teams involved in that, Callum, for the work they do, and hopefully people get a bit of a sense of just how involved the work is in the background that you all do to keep our roads moving. And I'll include the website details for where people can find out more information. So thank you for that, and make sure you and your team stay safe.
Thank you. Yes, I.
So I hope that's given a little insight into some of the work that goes on behind the scenes to help keep the roads clear during winter, and to keep drivers in Argyll and Bute safe. I want to say a big thank you to Callum and all the team that get involved in this work. Them being on call and coming out in the early hours on cold, dark winter's night just helps to keep all of us safe. And a big thank you to them for doing that and being on call throughout the winter, come rain or shine. Don't forget to make sure you keep your own vehicle safe, and there's a useful fact sheet on being prepared for winter driving on our website at argyll-bute.gov.uk, and stay safe this winter.
Pippa's podcast.